So you guys got some time off now, huh?
Yeah, we got about a month off, I think. We got a couple shows coming up in about 2 weeks. Just do little benefits around town and, you know, help some people out and do the Christmas thing.
What motivated you to come up with the idea of doing a 2-CD set instead of just doing like a single disc?
Well, I think the main reason behind it was you got people out there now charging like $100 for concert tickets. You know what I mean? And just sucking all the money out of the market. And in this poor economy, I think it was, we just thought we'd do something righteous for our fans, you know, and give them a free CD.
And so you said you had like 40 songs written? 40 original songs?
Yeah, we got like 40 tunes written on the board.
And how did you come up with the 10 for the record?
Well, the ones that really jumped off at us, you know, the ones we just looked at them all, we played them all down, we had them all demoed and stuff, and the ones that really seemed to fit together for an album were the ones that we threw on the record, you know. There's still a lot of the songs we may use later, but the other ones, some of them were a little heavier, and they didn't seem to fit cohesively with us, you know, with the album.
What's the song Sail Away about?
Sail Away is kind of like just about being adrift, you know, mentally, spiritually, emotionally adrift.
Is that something that's written like from personal experience, or?
Absolutely. All the songs we do are about personal experience. We try not to, you know, delve into the realms of fantasy, you know, because I, for myself, speaking for myself personally, I like to, when I hear a song, I like to hear a song that where I can go, God, you know, that guy knows what I'm talking about, or I know just how he feels, or he's singing that song about me. You know, I want people to experience some kind of emotional link with the tune. You know, and if people can listen to the song and get behind it or feel like, you know, yeah, I've been there at that point, or you know, I felt like that before, then that makes the song even more special.
Was there a time when you guys as a band felt like you were just kind of adrift and, you know, kind of like that?
Absolutely. That's where the song came from, basically. I mean, because after we left Capitol, you know, we were like adrift in search of a label, you know, and we're kind of like, okay, we're writing all these songs, and we had no deal. You know, we didn't know if we were writing them for nothing or what, you know, and it was just kind of that feeling of just feeling a little insecure about your future and, you know, just like, where are we now?
Would you mind if we went back kind of to the origins of the band?
Pardon me?
Would you mind if we went back kind of to the beginnings of the band?
No, go ahead.
Why don't you explain basically like how you guys got together?
Okay, well, yeah, this goes back when God was a little boy. November 1977, myself and Mark Kendall, my guitarist, we got together and decided to form a band, which in 1982 became Great White. We met a man named Alan Niven, who worked for Enigma, Green World Records, and he wanted to sign us to his label. His partners didn't agree, so he said, you know what, I'm leaving. He quit his job, and he asked me what I thought, what we should do now. I said, well, why don't you be our manager? He says, well, I know nothing about managing. I go, well, you'll learn. I mean, so after us, Guns N' Roses, et cetera, you know, he's definitely gone on to prove that he knew how to do that. But anyway, we put our first record out on our own.
That was On Your Knees, right?
Got picked up by EMI America.
That was On Your Knees, right?
Right, right. Actually, it was called Out of the Night at that time.
Okay.
On Your Knees is a re-release of that. And let's see. Yeah, we did the first record, and then we left EMI and went on our own again, put our own record out, which was Shot in the Dark. That got picked up by Capitol. They re-released that, and then the Fallen Capitol albums were like, what, Once Bitten, Twice Shy, Hooked, Psycho City, and now the new one, on Zoo. And there was also another record back in there somewhere called Recovery Live.
Yeah.
So it's been a long road, you know.
Those first two records really, really affected me hard, like when I was a high school student. Especially like with the song No Better Than Hell off the first album.
Right.
What motivated you to put that one together?
You know, the whole thing about that song was just, I don't know, it's a hard to explain tune, you know what I mean? It's a really hard to explain tune. God, I think the title just kind of speaks for itself, you know?
And the first single you guys had was off that album was Stick It, is that correct?
Stick It, yeah, that was correct.
And anything in particular to say about that song?
Yeah, the song was just about authority figures in general, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody goes through that stage in their life, you know, especially when you're in, like, high school. You're tired of your parents and your teachers telling you what to do. You know, you feel like, you know what, just stick it, man. I'm tired of hearing this.
And then after that first record, you guys had a pretty big break. You ended up going out as a support act with Judas Priest, right?
Yeah, you know, it was amazing. The first tour we had was in Europe and with Whitesnake, with the old Whitesnake. And then we came over to the United States, and our first U.S. tour was with Judas Priest, and that was, like, a sold-out arena tour. So it was, like, you know, out of the frying pan into the fire, you know. It's pretty amazing. It was a hell of a first year.
Yeah, what was that like for you guys as a band to just basically, you know, come out of the box and end up, you know, playing full out arenas like that?
It was a great feeling. I mean, there's nothing like it doing the arena shows, you know. I mean, all shows are great, but having like 10,000 people plus every night is a feeling that I wish everybody could experience at least once.
Going to a song up, the album Shot in the Dark, is anybody there? I think out of all the songs I've listened to, I think that one affected me probably more than any other song that I've ever listened to.
Thank you.
Is there anything you can say about that particular
song? Yeah, that was a tune I wrote. I had a dream that I woke up, and it was like, I was trying to find somebody. There was nobody on the streets. I'm walking around this town. It was just totally deserted. You ever seen that flick, The Omega Man?
Yeah.
Charlton Heston?
Uh-huh.
I had watched that movie, and then I had a dream about that same kind of thing, and that was what the song was basically about, you know, just feeling very alone and out of touch, and there was nobody around, you know, nobody to turn to. And I mean, that would be like the worst nightmare I can imagine. Waking up, you'd be the only person on the whole planet. You might think it'd be a kick for a while, but I mean, having nobody at all, just being totally alone.
Did you ever see The Twilight Zone where the guy's like that?
Oh, yeah.
He gets his glasses broke at the end?
I'm a big Zone fan, yeah.
Yeah? How about that song, Rock Me? Did you guys ever expect that to take off the way that it did?
Rock Me, you know what? To be honest with you, yes, I did.
Really?
At first, I thought it was going to be difficult because of the length of the song. You know, coming out with a 7-minute, you know, single for a band that was new as us was pretty much a long shot. But the song itself, when I first heard it, it was funny because when I first heard the song and the band played it for me in this rudimentary form, I was like, what's this? I couldn't think of any melodies at all. Then I took the tape home and I sat with it for a few days, and one day it just came to me, you know. I'm like, cool, okay, now I see what the song is. And after we wrote the melodies and wrote the words, I'm like, this could be a really cool tune.
How about Save Your Love off that album? Was that written, like, from personal experience?
Yeah, Save Your Love actually was written about my ex-wife at the time when I was married to her. I remember writing the song, actually, in an apartment on the back of a legal pad on the cardboard. I didn't have any paper left, so I just wrote it all down on the cardboard. And it was like one of those 10-minute things, you know, and you just go, wow, that's pretty cool.
I've had a lot of bands tell me that a lot of songs come out like that. It's almost like they're not even writing it, but they're just like a conduit for something else, you know.
Yeah, sometimes they just come out, you know. Sometimes you have to work, it's like pulling teeth, and other times it, you know, they'll just come like a flash of inspiration. You go, where did the hell did that come from?
How about going back to the new album? What songs are your personal favorites off the new one?
The new album, I think Alone is one of my favorites. Gone with the Wind. What else? I mean, I dig all the tunes so much. Sail Away, I love. Crying's a good song. The whole album I really like. This is my favorite record we've ever done.
Really? Any particular stories or anything behind any of the songs on this record you'd like to talk about?
Let's see. Well, Gone with the Wind. No, that song in particular, the lyrics really mean a lot to me because of the fact that what it's about is when you're really high up and you know, things are going great and you have all kinds of success and you have all these people around you, you know what I mean, and they're just all your friends and they're hanging out, and then when things aren't going so good, you know, they're off with somebody else, tell them how great they are. You know, it's like Gone with the Wind, like yesterday's song, you know what I mean? All their laughter has drifted away. It's a feeling that you live with sometimes, you know what I mean, when you wake up and you're not getting all the phone calls and there's not all these people hanging out at your house, you know, telling you how wonderful you are, and it's amazing how many friends you have when you're really, really successful, and then when times aren't so successful, you know, how they just kind of disappear. You know, you learn to separate the liggers from your real friends.
How would you say that your vocals have changed over the period of time that you've been with the band?
Well, going back to the first record, I mean, that was like, pardon me, Michael Wagner produced it, and the whole thing when we were doing the album, he was all, sing Jack Evil, you'll be like Jack Evil. And so every song was like, you know, pretty much, you know. Going on to the next album, it was less of that because the music was a little different. One Spittin' was the first album that we did that I could really kind of just sing and do the kind of things I wanted to do because of the material. You know, this newest album is a lot different. It just shows a different side of my voice, you know. Different songs acquire a different approach, I think. You can't sing every song the same way. You know, you kind of take the song as a separate entity, you know, and give it what it needs.
How long were you guys without a label in between Capitol and Zoo?
Oh, God, it was probably about maybe 6 months, maybe. I'm just guessing. I can't recall it this time.
Was there ever a period of time during the band's career where you thought about hanging it up?
Never.
Never?
Never, no. I've always been with the thought when we started this band that we're going to be the ones to say when it's over. I don't want somebody else dictating to me saying, okay, well, you guys are history now. Goodbye. I mean, after the first album, the EMI record, I mean, you know, we had our obituaries written plenty of times. And then we turned around and you know, released Once Bitten, and then, oh, well, we were wrong.
I love those first two albums, man. I fucking love both of those albums.
Thank you very much.
I've listened to both of those thousands of times since I was a kid.
Thank you. I still listen to the old stuff. We have certain nights on the bus. I mean, we'll have like certain music. We'll have Beach Boys night. We'll have like a Beatles night, you know, or a Motown night. And we have Great White nights. We just play all the old stuff and go, wow, remember that tune? Oh, what a trip. I forgot the lyrics.
Can you do some station IDs for me before I return?
Sure, absolutely. Hey, this is Jack Russell from Great White. You're listening to Metamorphosis with my buddy Joe Cleon on Rock and Roll Radio 102 FM.
Very cool. I really appreciate you taking the time out, man.
My pleasure, man.
And,
time, bro. Well, happy holidays. Stay there and give our best to everyone. And you guys have a great Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Same to you, man. And thanks a lot for the great music, man. It's
Anytime, it's
added a lot of happiness to my life over the years.
Well, thanks. And that's great hearing that. Thank you very much.
No problem, man.
All right, buddy.
Have a good one.
Bye.